Good morning. It's lovely to be here again today and to see some familiar faces and some new faces. I was just looking at my notes from when I was here last time. It's 6 years since I was here and preached. Time goes, doesn't it? It really does. But no, it is really good to be here today and to share with you, share the Word of God with you, and to catch up with some old friends as well. It's interesting, isn't it, as we look at our world today, and I guess I don't need to remind you of all the crazy things that are happening around our world. And, you know, it's interesting that it's probably in the Christian era, there has never been a generation like ours. Black is being called white, sin is becoming acceptable and even being normalised as part of the cultural changes of our day. War and unrest around the world, a pandemic. Did you know we've had a pandemic? We've had a pandemic. Still kind of around, isn't it? Demonstrations around the world, catastrophic climate disasters and millions of displaced people around the world. There's corruption in business, it always has been, but goodness me, there's lots of things happening nowadays, and I'm not really game to talk about politics here this morning. Scams, identity theft, etc., etc., etc. We could get depressed, couldn't we? But we don't need to get depressed because God is still in control. That's the exciting thing. In this environment, you and I need to stand out as new and fresh and real. Sometimes without saying a word. Sometimes we have to share our faith verbally and talk, certainly, but a good way to share our faith is to be Christ in a sin-sick world by living consistently with who we are in Christ. We can make a difference. Are all these things that lead up to the end time events possibly? Only God knows the exact time when Jesus is coming back. But praise God, he's coming back. Isn't that good news? Good news. But friends, the important thing for us is to live our faith and to share our faith. The experience of knowing Jesus personally is like the sun setting on the old life, and then in the morning comes the beautiful sunrise. Do you like sunrises? I must admit, of latter times, I really have, well, I'll include my wife, of latter times we really haven't been up that early to actually go outside and see the sunrise exactly when it pops over the hill. But it's beautiful to see a sunrise. June and I were part of a youth group, the same youth group many years ago now in Brisbane, and we were part of the youth group that used to do all sorts of activities, as youth groups do. But we'd go on a barbecue in the early morning at times, and we'd greet the dawn. I'm not sure exactly where all those places were. My wife might remember some of those locations. But it was great to get up early when it was dark and go to the church and meet all the other people in the youth group, and then we'd get in cars, we'd go to a destination, and we'd have a barbecue, but we'd watch the sunrise. It was beautiful. And especially in the Australian bush. Very exciting. And friends, you know, it's important for us to understand that that's much like the Christian life. Saying goodbye to the old, putting off the old, and as we experience that new life in Christ, it's a beautiful sense of being a new creation. We'll talk about that this morning as we go through. So firstly this morning, new life in Christ starts with a new creation. And as we had the Bible reading read very well for us this morning, we're going to pick up on some of these key verses as well as look at the context where they come from. Do you remember when you came to Jesus? It doesn't matter if you don't. There's some people who really love the Lord and are genuinely born again and that don't know the exact time and place even, but they know they're saved. We've got no problem with that. Others of us have had certain experiences where we've come to the Lord Jesus in a a dramatic way and others just a nice, quiet way. But let me suggest this morning, friends, and it's good in a way that I don't know everyone here, so I can say this. It is so important that if you don't know the Lord Jesus here today, that you seriously consider his claims upon your life, especially at this time in human history and in the life of the church. And if we do know the Lord Jesus, we need to shine forth for him in a very special way. One of the key verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is a beautiful verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, or some translations say a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. You know, this is not just God patching up an old sinful life. This is something completely new. And the Bible makes that really clear, completely new. Old things passed away. Oh, we're still sinners saved by grace. We still sin at times. We need to confess that and keep short accounts with God and move on with him. But our life is definitely changed when we come to trust the Lord Jesus personally. It's interesting too that as we read the Bible, we get that wonderful security that once we come to the person of Jesus, once the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, we are sealed with the Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. Wonderful security in the Lord Jesus. And Paul is describing some very exciting changes in these verses. Very exciting changes. If you recall in Paul's writings, he wrote two letters. In fact, he wrote three letters to the Corinthian church. As he wrote the first letter, he sorted out some problems. Corinth was a very sinful city. It was a very sad city. Ephesus was a sinful city too. But Corinth had some really sad things happening. And what was happening was simply this, that even though many of them were Christians and had really been transformed, they hadn't let go of many of the cultural things around them. Some of them had wanted to go back to some of those things. And so Paul writes some strong things. But after his first letter, we understand from Scripture, there must have been another letter that we don't have in our Bibles, and that's okay. Another letter that's often called the severe letter. And that must have been really, really heavy. Paul must have really nailed some of the people there, and he must have really been strong, because it seems as though he was really worried after that time as to how they were going to respond. And you know, when he found out how they'd responded, it was exciting, because some things had changed, and some were now supporting Paul, because many in the church didn't actually support him. They were supporting Paul, but there were others who were still causing a problem. The false apostles and the false teachers were obviously still causing problems in the church. So Paul now writes this letter and some of these verses that we're looking at here this morning. So when he says to them, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. He's really saying that, well, for everyone, for us here today, because it's Scripture. But he was really addressing some of those problems there in the church and talking about the people in the church making a complete change. Let go of the sad things of the culture. And the change in their lives needed to be complete in terms of knowing Jesus. And so it's good to know sometimes just why the Bible writers have written certain things. So is this verse for us today, or was it just for Corinth? No, it's for us. Incredible thing. That all these years later, the inspired word of God is touching hearts, just like Paul's letter touched hearts in Corinth so many years ago. And friends, salvation is a cognitive process as well as a spiritual experience. There are a lot of things being said nowadays in the context of the church about how we come to Christ and how our Christian life moves on from there. It's all about knowing the Lord Jesus personally, certainly, but it's all about understanding what happened on Calvary and what that means for us and what it means for our eternity. Ephesians 1:13, Paul says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." What an incredible verse that is. Sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That gives us courage to move on and joy in knowing where we're going. John 3:3, the story of Nicodemus tells us very clearly. I won't go through all the details. I'm sure most of you know the story. As Nicodemus, the religious leader, came to Jesus to ask him some very important questions, Jesus said to him, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So it's not about religion as such. There's a lot of religion going on in the world. And that's okay if it's Christian and if the gospel is involved. But it's simply about a personal, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. And in that, we have salvation and we have a life of blessing as we go on with him. Oh, there's persecution often, there's frustrations, and we're still sinners saved by grace. But this happens through repentance and faith. Just for a moment, let me just talk about the word repentance. When was the last time we heard the word repentance in a spiritual conversation? Very important word in Scripture. And in Acts chapter 2, after Pentecost, when they had come under great conviction as Peter was preaching, the people came after the sermon and said, "What shall we do?" And of course, you probably know the answer. What did he say? Repent. And then be baptized, of course, going on from there as the outward sign of the inward experience. And Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." Works are important after salvation, but we certainly can't work for our salvation. We can't do good things to please God. We can't pull our socks up one day if we sort of get out of bed and say, "Well, today I'm going to pull my socks up. I'll be more spiritual. I'll be good. And God will bless me." That's not how salvation happens. It comes when we come under deep conviction of sin. And we come to Jesus. We repent of our sin. And we trust Christ as our Saviour. And the Spirit of God comes to live inside. So once again, it's not an old life patched up, but a new life that reflects God's wonderful grace. A new start, a new beginning. David says in God says, David says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Friends, God has known us from eternity past. God has a wonderful plan for your life and my life. And we just need to stay close to Jesus, stay in the Word of God. And God will bless us and move on. This new creation is not just God doing something new for us, but this new life in Christ affects every part of our lives. We are new creatures in Christ. And so really, that first point was by way of introduction too, to help us understand once again. I'm sure you know all the things that I've been talking about, but it's good to be reminded, isn't it, of God's wonderful love and grace and how he changes us. So secondly, new life in Christ is characterized by a new way of thinking. And just picking up part of this verse, Ephesians 4:23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The mind is the centre of everything that happens for us. When we came to Christ, the Spirit of God convicted us, and in our thinking, we understood just where we were and who we were. We needed Jesus, and we made a decision to follow Jesus. So important to realise that the mind is the centre of all those things. In Ephesians, Paul doesn't address any major problems as such, but gives us a beautiful description of who we are in Christ. He describes how we should live as new creatures in Christ. He again outlines our redemption through the shed blood of Jesus and lifts us up to the heavenly places where we are seated with Jesus. He talks about Christian marriage and victory in spiritual warfare. He talks about prayer and many other things. But here where he talks about being renewed in our minds, that is a key understanding of our salvation and what needs to happen. And it goes on. It's not just being renewed in our minds when we come to Jesus, but continually being renewed, going on and having that renewal. In fact, in our generation, the thinking of the world is degenerating at an incredible rate. Sometimes we look at the things that happen and we wonder what's going on in the minds of some of those people that do some horrific things. Have you noticed the crime rate increasing in some of the areas around of recent times? Someone said recently, well, it's not as bad as it used to be, and then you kind of scratch your head and you think, well, there's some really sad things happening. In the minds of some of those people, plus the use of drugs and other things, I guess, there's some very sad things happening. And so it's the mind that is controlling their activity as well. And we need to know that the Lord Jesus touches our heart. He renews our minds, the spirit of our mind, and that goes on in our lives as Christians to follow him in a very special way. Well, this is an ongoing renewal. This Greek word talks about, it's in the present tense for the Greek, but it's a continuous action. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of understanding just what's happening. And there's several things that we need to understand in terms of how we live our lives and be effective for Jesus. If you're anything like me, as you get older, and been in ministry, of course, in the past for many years. It's quite a while now since I've been in full-time ministry. And as I look around, there's some people here about my age. There's some people here a bit older. There's some people here a bit younger. And there's some people who are much younger. But as I think about my life in terms of my salvation, when I was 15, I made a decision to follow Jesus at a youth camp on Magnetic Island. I was a Methodist at the time. My wife and I were part of the Methodist Church years ago. And I remember way back then making that decision to follow Jesus. And it took quite a few years for me to work through all that and for people to help me along the way. There wasn't much follow-up in the church that we were involved in. But as time went, it was an understanding that I couldn't do things by myself in my own thinking. I had to hand it all over to God. And as I got older then in ministry and over the years sharing with others, this whole concept of being a new creature in Christ was so important to me and so important to others as well. A transformed life, not just something that was still part of the old culture and trying to do well and failing and frustrated. We still fail, but we confess that and we move on. And God blesses us and lifts us up to a new plane as we have our minds renewed in the Lord Jesus. Well, thirdly, new life in Christ is witnessed by a new way of living. We're new creatures in Christ. That happens at conversion. Our minds are renewed, and that goes on in that process of God wanting us to renew our minds in Christ about life in general and how we should live for Him. But new life in Christ is witnessed by a new way of living. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And in the world we're living in the whole context of things around us, the devil's working really hard, not only in the world, not only in the lives of individuals in key places in our world, but brothers and sisters, God is blessing us, but the devil is working hard in the church. And it seems to me that the church is really struggling. Sure, there's some good things happening, great things happening. There's revival in certain places. God is blessing the ministry of faithful people around the world. But the overall context, if you like, of what's happening in the world now and even the history of the church, we're seeing some breakdown in these areas. So we've got to stay close to Jesus. We've got to stay in the Word of God and move on for Him. But what about our living? Well, in this verse, the word transformed is the English word metamorphosis. We've taken it from the Greek. Metamorphosis, where a grub turns into a beautiful butterfly. And so in this whole idea of us coming to know Jesus at a point in time, it always happens at a point in time, even though we may not remember that. For some people, that's fine. We just need to know it's happened. And so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and here it is again, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or ascertain or understand what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We don't, as Christians, we don't go to the external things outside of the Word of God. Let me encourage you this morning to take all your understanding of the Christian life from the Word of God and those people who faithfully proclaim the Word of God. There's a lot of strange things happening, and we need to stay attached to God in a special way, and we need to stay in His Word. Warren Wiersbe says this. Some of you may have heard of Warren Wiersbe, a good Bible commentator. He's got some commentaries out that are at a really good level for everyone. He says, physically, you are what you eat, but spiritually, you are what you think. Now that, when I first read that comment by Warren Wiersbe, I thought, now, what is he actually saying? Sounds clear, but I believe he's saying this, that spiritually, again, it's our mind that's in the central of this whole process. God renews our minds so we stay on track for Him. Still saved by grace, sinners saved by grace, but He renews our minds so that we can move on in this whole process. And we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. A process that means complete change. This particular Greek word for transformed is also the word that was used by Matthew 17, verse 2, Matthew in chapter 17, verse 2, the transformation of Jesus. You may recall that. We don't have time to go into all the details there where Jesus, they saw Jesus changed in a wonderful way. So this refers not only to the change inside, but this refers to a total change of us. So we still have physical bodies that everyone else has got, but there's something different. Have you ever met a Christian and talked to them? You'd never seen them previously, and you were just in their presence and there was something different about them? Have you ever thought about the fact that when we come to Jesus, in this whole process of being new creatures in Christ, that maybe people look at us, hopefully, and see something different in us, something different in our face, something different in the demeanour that we have, because we are new creatures in Christ. I remember many years ago when we were at Cleveland, started ministry in the Cleveland church, many years ago, 1983, long time ago. And so on my time off, I remember I used to sometimes go fishing. Who likes fishing here? Put up your hand if you like fishing. The kids do. Great. That's good. We don't have too many ladies. Ladies make good fishermen too. It's all right to be a fisherman lady. And I never had much opportunity to fish, studying and being involved in ministry at the time. But I used to go down to, I think it was Cleveland Point, where there was a small jetty back in those days. I don't think it's there anymore. And just throw a line in. I didn't catch much, but it was just nice to sit there on the jetty and fish and think and pray. And one day I was there, I met this tall Russian man who came, and he brought his fishing gear, and he stood there, and we started to talk, and I realized that he was a fisherman too, and of course he was fishing. And he was just sharing a few things, but most of the time he'd just sit there and not say much. He would kind of just be relaxing, and I'd be sitting there and not saying much, and I'd be relaxing. And we'd share a few words, and then he'd say, "Oh, it's time for me to go." He'd go off, or I'd say, "You know, it's time for me to go." And there weren't many times that I met him at the jetty, but a number of times. The only thing I regret, there was never an opportunity to share Christ with this man. So I'm not talking about a conversion, but he was a lovely man, and there was never really an opportunity. It was probably the brevity of the time we spent together, I'm not sure, but God knows about that. And one day, I was walking down the main street of Cleveland. Was it Bloomfield Street there? Main Street? Yes, that's right. My wife remembers all the streets and all the number plates on the cars we've had. I always say, do you remember this? She says, yes. She tells me, wonderful to have a wife like that. Anyway, walking down Bloomfield Street, and back in those days, there weren't a lot of people, but it was, you know, Bloomfield Street's a very long street and lots of shops along it. And if you were to start where the water is, near the coast there, and walk right down Bloomfield Street and keep going, you come to the Baptist Church, still there in the same place. Anyway, I was walking the other way. I was walking towards the water, towards the, I was going to say the beach, but there's no beach there, towards the water. And I saw this figure in the distance. It was a bit of a silhouette to start with. And then as this figure came closer to me, and he was a long way off to start with, I realized this was my Russian friend, the Russian fisherman. And he came closer and closer, and we just got closer and closer and closer and closer. And as we got closer, he smiled and I smiled. We got closer, we closer, and we stopped. There was a little bit of silence, and this Russian man said to me, he said, "You know, one fisherman can tell another fisherman from a long way off." And he was right. One fisherman can tell another fisherman from a long way off. And friends, one Christian should be able to tell another Christian from a long way off. We need to have that relationship with Jesus and that fellowship that we can have together. The recognition of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not just recognizing them, I'm not talking about that, but just this whole process of being different. I'm not sure what was different about the Russian and myself being fishermen, but I guess we'd spent a bit of time together, and we had lots in common in that regard as well. But you and I need to have that same sort of relationship and fellowship as Christians. How should we live our lives? Well, we should live our lives glorifying God, should live our lives sharing our faith. We should live our lives supporting our family, protecting our families, and even through prayer, protecting the church and all that we belong to, because it is a very hostile world, a very hostile world. And you know, the thing that we need to really understand is the situation in Corinth, where the Corinthians were being highly influenced by the culture around them, because it was a very evil city. That somehow, as I sat down and prepared this message, I was thinking about our society, and not just here in Tent Hill or in Toowoomba where we live, but just our society in general. And many of the things that are happening, as I said at the beginning, many other things that I haven't even mentioned, are kind of crowding in. And we're seeing some very disturbing things happen. So what are the sort of things that we need to stay away from? Romans chapter 6, as Christians that is. Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. And do not go presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now please listen to this next little bit. It's so important. For sin shall no longer be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's a beautiful promise from the Word of God. We still sin. We need to confess that, keep short accounts with God and move on. But these things that are happening in society, these horrific things, the things that are anti-God, immoral things, the language that is used, what the world stands for, things that were once called sin are now okay, by the way. Did you know that? They've kind of been justified. Not really. And so we need to be shining lights for Jesus in the church and in the world. The language that we speak should be different from the language that we used to speak before we came to Christ. Some of us might have come to the Lord Jesus when we were very young. That's good. But we still struggle with language. When I went to school, the language was pretty bad. I understand it's still pretty bad. No matter where you are, it's still pretty bad. But our language needs to be wholesome. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That's a follow-on from some of those verses that we looked at. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And Ephesians 5, verse 4. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. You know, this is not talking about being a goody-goody. Paul's not talking about being a little holier than the next person. We're up on another level. We look down on all those people that use bad language and so on. Paul is saying, hey, Christians, make sure that after you come to the Lord Jesus, when you're wonderfully saved, born again of the Spirit of God, that your life reflects who you are in Christ. That your life reflects who you are because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, I don't need to tell you what Jesus went through for you and for me, do I? He went through so much. As he died on the cross for us, as God the Father let all that sin be poured onto Jesus, and he was punished and crucified for your sin and my sin. So much so, at one stage, the Lord Jesus called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned from him at that time as he bore the sins of the world. And horrific thing for Jesus. And as we look at the Psalms and other verses, the demonic forces were coming against Jesus at that time on Calvary must have been horrific. It was a spiritual thing as well. It was spiritual warfare in that sense. He did it all for you and all for me, so that we might be saved, that we might be transformed, that we might be changed, that we might be new creatures in Christ. Not just saying, oh, I'm a Christian. No, new creatures in Christ is a complete change. And so our language must reflect the life and power of the Lord Jesus living in us. Our life and how we conduct ourselves in our families and how we conduct ourselves in the church, because churches never have disagreements, do they? Well, I'm joking, of course. I've been involved in churches for a long time, and most of you here have probably as well. We need to be very gracious and loving with our brothers and sisters, regardless of some of the differences. But we also need to be firm and loving when there's a problem, and when the Word of God makes it clear that we need to sort things out. Now, please forgive me, and I'm so glad I know nothing about the Tent Hill Church at this point in time, okay? So I'm not trying to address anything. This is general. And so we just need to be God's presence in the world. We need to be light in a darkened world, and even in the church, when there's confusion, when there's tensions, when there's unrest, we need to pray for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to address the problems in grace, but we need to be loving and gracious to others who don't think the same way as we do. God will do the rest. He'll bless us. He really will. He's a wonderful God. Friends, if we have trusted Jesus, if we've genuinely trusted Jesus, if we're born again, if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then everything is new in Christ. The old is put off, the new has come. And you know, it's really interesting to note that when we do come to Christ as Christians, we also have victory over the evil one. Don't ever think that the devil is so powerful that he can completely control your circumstances. He is a powerful, created being, but the devil knows that his time is short, especially at the moment, I would think. The devil knows his place, really, but in spiritual warfare, he comes upon us at times to really discourage us. He comes and he tells us about our past and all the bad things we've done. He tries to convince us that although we're saved and God loves us, but you're not really totally forgiven, because those past things are going to raise their heads, you're going to do it again. Have you ever had the devil tell you that? He does. Then our own minds sometimes really confuse the matter for us, because we keep recycling the past often, especially the way the world is at the moment. Lots of tensions, lots of things happening. But friends, we're new creatures in Christ, so we need to leave the past in the past in God's hands and move on. Oh, we can remember things in the past so that we don't make the same mistakes again, but we need to leave them in the past and put them in the past. And I've often shared this, a quote that was on Facebook that my wife shares with me. I'm not on Facebook, but my wife is. But if it sounds interesting, I just look over her shoulder. That's the way to do it. Anyway, and you can go on the internet and you can find this particular quote or similar ones all over the place, but nevertheless, I'll share it with you because it's very pertinent. In our Christian experience, in our Christian life, if the past calls, hang up. or push the button on your phone, or send it through to the message bank. If the past calls, hang up, because the past has nothing new to say. And to recycle the past all the time and to keep going over the things that have happened, and especially the bad things and especially the frustrating things, is only going to break us down and get us depressed. So friends, let's live in this newness of life that Jesus has for us. Let's lift our hearts in praise to God and give Him glory. And each morning when we wake up, if I get up early enough, I might see the sunrise tomorrow morning. But I do love sunrises. And each morning as we wake up, let's think about the sunrise in a physical sense and think about our new life in Christ in a spiritual sense. And God will bless us abundantly. So friends, stay close to Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. And stay open to God's leading, the Spirit's leading. And if the past calls, hang up, won't you? It's got nothing new to say. Let's move on freshly from here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We know it's true, it's powerful. It gives us encouragement. It blesses us. Everything for life and ministry is found in Your Word. But Father, we know it's also sharper than a two-edged sword, as Your Word says. It convicts us. As the Spirit of God in us convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment and all those things as we go on with You. Father, this morning, maybe it's time. Time for us to let go of the past. Time for us to say thank You, Lord, for leading us and blessing us all these years. And thank You, Lord, that my sins are forgiven. You don't remember them in that sense. They're gone. And Heavenly Father, thank You that we can live a new life in Christ, in victory over the evil one. He's a defeated foe because of Calvary. We want to claim that victory even this morning. We want to move on in the power of the Spirit. We want to move on to touch people's lives. And Father, I want to pray for this church. Father, bless it. Pray You bless Aaron and Rebecca and bless the elders and the deacons and other leaders in the church. Bless the congregation. Bless those who are young, bless those who are old. And Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move in a special way in the Tent Hill Baptist Church to bring glory to You and to bring a great blessing in this community. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in the strong name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.